Commissioner's Court this morning. As we begin, do we have a volunteer who would come to the mic and open our time with our invocation? Opening prayer. Would someone like to do that for us, please? You're going to have to volunteer. I can't call you. Here we go.
Billy?
Guys, before we do that, yes. I'd like to ask everybody to remember Bobby Powell with his stepson. Lost his life, I think, last
Let's do that. We'll have a moment of silence.
You need to remember Bobby and his family.
You remember that as well, Billy. Good. The loss of his son.
Father, we want to say thank you for today, and we do want to lift up Bobby Powell's son. And Father, we ask that you would touch the hearts of all those who are involved in this circumstance. We ask you, God, to bring peace and love and comfort today. We also ask today as we gather, we want to say thank you for the opportunity to stand in a free state, a free country, and a free county. I want to lift up the leadership to you today and ask, Father, that you would give them wisdom, that you would continue to watch over our work, and that you would give us the ability to do the things that you called us to do. Thank you for the greatness of this life and the blessings of it. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all. You may be seated. We begin today, let the record reflect that Commissioner Metz is not with us. All are present except for Commissioner Metz, but he is on his way, and we will acknowledge him when he arrives. Do we have a motion then to approve the Commissioner's Court agenda today?
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Do we have any citizen comments today? I know that there are some comments that want to be made concerning the Robinson Road exit. There's a number of those, so we're going to come to that item on the agenda when we move to open. And when we come to that, we want to be able to have discussion with you on that, Commissioner. NOAC would like to do that. So the Robinson Road, if you could hold those until that item, and we'll be there shortly. Are there any other comments that anyone would like to make concerning either our open or our consent agenda? If there are none, then we will move forward. Proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Presentation of the National 4-H Proclamation.
Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
I'm Michelle Mahalik. I'm the County Extension Agent for the 4-H program in Montgomery County, and my coworker,
wow,
Justin Sines, is our Urban Youth Development Agent. And we have our County Council officers and 4-H members here today to present appreciation gifts to you for everything that you do in support of us. And I would like to introduce Karis Downs, is our County Council First Vice President. She will be reading the proclamation and sharing some of her experience with the 4-H program this year.
Super.
Hi. Whereas the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court is proud to honor the 4-H Youth Development Program of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service for 114 years of providing experience-based education to youngsters throughout the Lone Star State. Whereas this admirable program, which seeks to provide a learning experience for the whole child, including head, heart, hands, and health, helps young Texans to acquire knowledge, develop life skills, and form attitudes to enable them to become self-directed, productive, and contributing members of our society. Whereas it is more than 550,000 urban, suburban, and rural youth participants ranging in age from 8 to 19 hail from diverse ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds and truly represent a cross-section of the state. Whereas the program undoubtedly could not have achieved the success that it has today were it not for the service of its more than 22,000 volunteers who have given generously of their time, talents, energies, and resources to the youth of Texas. And whereas throughout its proud history, the 4-H program has developed positive role models for countless Texans and through its innovative and inspiring programs continues to build character to instill the values that have made our state strong and great. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Montgomery County Commissioners Court hereby designated October 3rd through 9th, 2021, as National 4-H Week in Texas and commend the 4-H Youth Development Program of the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service and may many men and women who have made the program a success.
What a great
well
job.
Done. Thank you so much. Wow. Very, very good.
Thank you.
We have a proclamation. We have a motion to approve this proclamation.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Very good. Thank you all very
proclamation well received. Thank you. Well done.
Where are you kids from?
I'm from Grangerland Intermediate. That's
are
my
you?
School. Yes,
and
sir.
You, young lady?
I go to Conroe High School.
Conroe High School. Moorhead? Any Creek.
Very nice. Thank
well,
you all for
deal.
Coming.
Well done.
To see the youth involved in this.
Look, I talked to these young folks right before court, and we've got people, these young folks, one of them wants to be a dentist, one of them wants to be a doctor, one of them wants to be a microbiologist, which he had to tell me what that was. One of them wants to be a mechanic, goes to trade school to get whatever he can,
awesome.
As much as he can in the trade school, and one of them wants to be a vet. Is that correct? Did I get all of them right? So we're in pretty good hands in Montgomery County. With
well,
the
we team. Sure are. Is there anybody there who would volunteer to run for a political position?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, thankfully, they're smarter than that. They don't want anything to do
don't
with
do it.
No, that's such a good job. Thank
I
you so much.
I think they got something else they need to say and something
Have
else they need to do.
Have minutes for her to share her experience?
Sure. Oh, yes. Yes.
So now that I have read the proclamation, I would like to give you some highlights of my past 4-H year and tell you more about myself. I'm 11 years old and I'm in the 6th grade. Last year, I started the year out with 7 new baby pigs to train, grow, and show. I showed in 18 jackpot shows and 3 major shows. San Antonio Stock Show, Rodeo Austin, Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, and our county show, Montgomery County Fair and Rodeo. I won my class of heavyweight cross barrows at Montgomery County and made the sale. I also won Reserve Grand Champion Photography at Montgomery County and auctioned my photo. The proceeds from these two sales all went into my college savings 529 account. I also became involved in the multimedia project this year and entered a video in the San Antonio Stock Show. I didn't place, but I had a great time and learned a lot. I continue to work hard on my community service projects. My main projects are Project Linus, Operation Christmas Child, and I really love to help the elderly at the care homes. This year, I was able to find a small care home that would let me come in and help their residents with things they needed. COVID is still making it difficult for me to pursue my passion of working with the elderly. I was able to donate 25 handmade blankets to Project Linus and 8 shoeboxes filled with gifts to Operation Christmas Child. My cousin and I are also buyers at the Sunshine Day auction at the fair. This is our 4th year in a row buying an item with our allowance. I hope to do more this year with my community service. Last year, I attended school online all year and was able to make all A's on my report card. This year, I'm back in school and was moved up to the Gifted and Talented program in all of my classes. I worked hard on my 4-H record book and won first place for swine in the county, first place for our district in swine, and the County Agricultural Record Book Award for my age. I'm the second vice president for Champion 4-H and the first vice chair for Montgomery County 4-H Council. Between my livestock, photography, food, public speaking, multimedia, and community service projects, I invested 1,539 hours in all of my projects for 4-H. Thank you again for all the support you show the youth of Montgomery County, and thank you again for allowing me to come give you an update on what I have been up to over the past year. I really enjoy speaking to all of you. God bless you. God bless our great state of Texas and the United States of America. Thank
wow.
you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
So James would also like to share some of his experiences this year. We didn't give him the chance to prepare as much as Karis did, but he has had some interesting opportunities this year he'd like to share.
So this year I am the Montgomery County 4-H historian and reporter. So you'll be, if you look at the papers, you'll see some of my articles that I'll be writing about 4-H and about what we do. We do, every month we have a community service project, and in September I do the Meals on Wheels. It's we decorate bags for Meals on Wheels, and we give them to the Meals on Wheels people so that they could put the food in them and hand them out. And it helps people who don't really get to see a whole lot of family and stuff. It'll cheer them up a whole lot. But what I've done this year is I've been, over the summer, I've went to a few camps. I've been trying to learn a lot, learn as much as I can, so I can also teach that to the younger kids in 4-H. I've been to a Texas Brigades camp, which was about hunting and conservation and a lot of leadership. And I also went to a 4-H camp this summer where I learned a lot about how the 4-H how it operates. And it also teaches a lot of other skills that I can take with me through life. And I think that my favorite achievement so far throughout all 4-H was the last Montgomery County Fair. I won grand champion with my broilers. And every year that I win and I go to sell, I take that money and I save it and I put it towards like college or trade school whenever I get older. And I think that that's one of the best things that you can get from 4-H is the opportunities that also come later in life. Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time today, and thank you for your support. We appreciate it.
It's such a good job. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
You do us proud. All right, as we move forward, thank you all. Appreciate you all being here today. All right, County Clerk, we want to consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from August 10th, 20th, and 24th. Do I have a motion to approve all three?
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right, our consent agenda. As we move to that, there is an item that I would like, D1, page 3 of 15, that I would like to move to open agenda under the tax assessor collector, item D1. We'll move that to open. Also, the county attorney's office has asked to defer 10S3G on page 10. 10S3G on page 10. Are there any other items to defer modifications that we would like to make? If there are none, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with modifications? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all so much. If we can move to then our open agenda on page 12 of 15 in your agenda.
10D1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's coming. I'm almost there. I'm just moving everybody to page 12 as we move this to open. Okay. Item D1, page 3 of 15, if you want to go back and refer to it, because what it has to do with is it's a tax assessor collector, and it has to do with a bond related to Northside Lexus, of which...
Don't you own that dealer?
No. But I am going to... abstained, and I wanted to make sure it was open that I abstained from the item on Northside Lexus. So with that in mind, we have a motion to approve.
Move.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. All right, let's move on to elections. I'm going to have Susie, why don't you come on up, and Gilbert, if you would as well, because there will be some things that we need to discuss in relationship to this in just a moment. Consider and approve an order changing the polling location for county election precincts 11, 45, 52, and 63. Tell us what's going on there, Susie.
These are just routine changes that come up from time to time.
Okay. Is there any discussion?
Let me ask a question, Susie, if I could. when we do redistrict, and I think the legislatures are trying to do that this month,
right?
And we move the representatives' lines and all that, all these that we, these polling locations that we're moving around, is that going to affect them now, or will that affect them?
It's possible it could affect it after they finish their
after
work.
After they redistrict.
That's right.
This could all be changed, right?
Could be, right. It just depends what changes they make, because an election precinct in the county can't contain more than one of those state senate or state representative or congressional districts.
Okay.
So after that work is finished, it's possible that some of the county election precincts could change.
What do we do then? We have to come back before November and try to change and then try to figure out how we're going to get people there to vote?
It would be before the primary.
Oh, before the primary. So
that's
it wouldn't
right.
affect this November?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay.
None of this
affects.
We'd have
some time.
Okay. Right. The okay. polling okay. place changes could affect this November, but the the new precinct lines
okay.
will not.
I understand that. I was worried about the polling places.
No, those are fine.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Good. Move on A.
Bill, can we have a motion to approve? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Item number B, considering approval and order for changes to county election precinct boundaries and designation of polling places. Explain to us.
This is just a modification of one of the precincts that would take effect in January of 2022, that we're just adjusting the boundary slightly to take in a different polling place. There was nothing available to use as a polling place, and so this is taking in the Lone Star Community Center to be recommended as that polling place.
Okay, we have a motion already. Do we have a second?
Second. Yeah.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. It was unanimous. In case anybody didn't hear that, I heard everybody.
Okay, thank
unanimous.
You.
All right, lastly, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on the purchase or lease of a voting system. We've been working on this project now for some time as we've been attempting to make adjustments to overcome the potential for fraud in any direction. Our machines are currently about 15 years old, 16 years old.
15 years old.
Literally coming apart. And so we have done the research. We've worked very hard on this. And we have a recommendation on a system with HART. Susie, if you would tell us a little bit about that system.
That system is paper-based.
Speak in the mic.
I'm sorry. Thank you. That's a paper-based system, so that gives that extra level of security and auditability after the election. So in that system, a voter would mark their selections on it's a touchscreen device instead of the dial device. But other than that, it would be selected very similarly, and then they will print their own ballot, review it, and then scan it into the precinct tabulator on
okay.
site. So it's just a two-part, two-step action on the part of the voter.
On heavy voting days, how much more time is it going to take for people to vote and do that and get through the lines? As you know, sometimes we have the line all the way
that's
you know,
right.
down the street into the waterway.
And we've accounted for that, especially early on as voters get used to the new system and how it operates, and having to have poll workers remind them that they have to scan that ballot in when they're finished, not to leave before they do that. So we've accounted for that, but it is going to add to the time.
And what about, are the machines friendly for those that have certain handicaps? Maybe they have trouble seeing, they're visually or their hearing is impaired or any...
It accommodates all of those that has increased accessibility. Actually, the manual devices for, you know, if they need that extra tactile switch to vote, it has additional accessibility options. And this system also, whereas the, you know, voters in the polling place will be voting on paper, voters that decide to curbside vote will still have that option to vote on paper with a portable device that they can still take inside their car. And so they're not voting in a different way than voters who are able to go inside.
Are these the same machines that when we came out there that day and looked at?
Yes, sir.
Same ones we
yes,
looked
sir.
At a while back?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, the paper ballot, you still can't walk out with the paper ballot how you vote. You still
no,
can't.
No, sir. Right.
It has to go... be scanned in there.
That's right. A law, right? That's not us. That's a law.
That's right. That is the law. And that's the only way for the ballot to be counted.
That's what some people are thinking they're going to be able
to do. Right. That's a misconception. It's not allowed by law for
that
privacy reasons.
Somebody tries to walk out without scanning it. How are we going to stop them?
Well, we'll have workers at the door making sure that voters don't leave with their ballot and also reminding them that if they do leave with their ballot, that it's not being counted.
Okay.
That's the only way for it to actually be included in the count is for them to scan it in. And
so
then
the only way this will count, you can vote electronically, but if you don't scan that paper ballot, it's not going to count.
Right, it's not really a vote.
Okay.
Judge, I know your office worked hard, and as well as yours, in putting this proposal together, and I'm always one to hate to spend a lot of money, but I don't see any choice.
No way around it.
If I have
it's time.
My preference would be that we would go with the 10-year financing of this.
No money out of pocket.
No money out of pocket today. It's about $1.1 million a year for 10 years. And
also, we're not going to pay anything on this until 2023, correct?
That's correct, right?
Yeah, so the first payment would be 10/14/2022, assuming we executed the deal 10/14/2021. So once you execute the deal, your first payment isn't due for a year.
Okay, or a year. A year, okay.
Is that the 1.102?
So if you did that at 10 years, you're looking at 902,794.06 a year.
So it's a 902,794.
That would be, right. Yep.
10 years, no money out of pocket. What's the interest rate?
It's estimated to be 1.949. We haven't signed a deal yet on that, so that's
please
still a little
sign
bit.
Please sign that as fast as we can if it's that low.
What's the difference underneath? Oh, there was 8 payments.
Yeah, so basically, what we provided you is the first one was at 10 years, no money down. The next one was at 8 years, no money down. I'm assuming a 1.949 on the 10-year, assuming a 1.849 on the 8-year. Then we provided you a 10-year payment with $3 million down. And that's why you see those payments have dropped a little bit, but you're putting a lot more money, you know, up front.
Yeah, but your interest, look at the interest you're going to save.
Right. So kind of staff recommendation is, you know, if you go with a 10-year with the 1.949, probably in the next 10 years, those interest rates are going to be back up and we're going to actually get more than that on our own side. So right now, maybe we're not, but in the future, we probably would.
And I hate to take another $3 million out of fund balance. We're not in a position to work
at. We don't need to do that.
Did
we
you can move do this on this system. Already?
Yeah, and we can always pay
early
more as we go if we chose to do that.
We are still making sure once we finalize the contract, we'll make sure that that's included in that.
All right.
And the good thing is we get another whole year to build this into our budget anyway. So.
Right.
Well, Susie and Gilbert and Amanda, thank you so much for your work on this. We've been back and forth and trying to do the right thing here. And I believe this is the right thing for our county. Having gone through it, we have agreement, I believe, here. So we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Good work, everybody.
Good work. Thank you so much. Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Then let's go ahead and move forward. And County Judge, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action regarding request for the City of Conroe for use of the decommissioned Veterans Park in downtown Conroe. Jason, do we have a copy of that? I do not have it here with me. But what it is it's the – you have it right there. There you go.
I thought one of the ideas for us would be to make that a parking lot for the tax office. We got huge needs there.
Not for this.
No.
That's not what this is.
Though. No, that's not what this is. What this is, it's a letter that was given to me by Jody, by the mayor. And they want to give us, and it's all for the decommissioned park property, including the entire area between Davis Street and the parking lot on the south side of the Montgomery County Tax Office. And what we have here is they are willing to give us a credit of $2,000 per month that Montgomery County may apply against building permit fees due to the City of Conroe from Montgomery County or against such other items payable from county to city that are deemed mutually agreeable by the parties. Any unexpended credit may be carried forward from year to year, but the credit may not be used in advance of being earned. 5 years, and the term would be 5 years and 1 5-year renewal term. and the property use, the city may use the property for outdoor dining or merchandising or other lawful purposes as agreed between the parties. Not to put a structure on it, not to make it a parking lot. It stays, and as I understand the property being what it is, where it, what it has been for in the past, has a lot of meaning for a lot of people in Conroe and in our county, having been a place where we dedicated our, it was a memorial to men and women who served in the military, which has now been moved down to the corner. They've also asked for right of first refusal on park property. On this, if we decide to sell it, they'd like to have the right of first refusal on an acceptable offer that is received by the county. So, gentlemen, I bring this to you for your consideration. It looks to me like it's legitimate credit for the size of the space that we might receive. We have a 5-year term involved in it. We're not doing anything with it right now, but it's up for discussion at this point.
If we were to move forward with this, would that restrict us from doing anything like parking lot for?
Well, it would put some restriction on us for at least 5 years.
5 years.
Yeah.
And we know we are still finalizing the, space solution for downtown. And part of what PGAL has done is looking at utilizing that space since we own it for a future building. We've talked about, the need for a tax office. I mean, it's your precinct, but I don't know that it's a good idea.
How much land is it again? Do we know? It's not even an acre, right?
It's a small section right on the outside of the parking area right there.
You could add a lot of parking to the tax office.
It would make it easier to get in and out if we right off of whatever that road, Phillips or whatever that is.
I think we should keep it for ourselves and then move forward with better parking because we have an issue right there right now.
Okay.
I'm with you then.
Okay. Let me do this because as I told Jody, I would do this. Then I would like to make a motion that we move forward on it. Do I have a second?
If we were to do this, we would need a use agreement or a lease agreement, and we would need to include early termination provisions and things like that. We would need some kind of written agreement that outlined the details.
Something that we could let them use temporarily until we can modify this?
I don't think the letter.
I would rather let y'all look at it and come up with an agreement if y'all want to do that.
If y'all would like to tell us to come up with an agreement or work with the city to provide some type of use agreement or lease with a termination provision, we could do that. But the letter, I don't think it would be specific enough that we would be comfortable making a recommendation on it at this point.
Question. Now, one of the things that we always talk about is the fact that you can't use county property to profit. But we can let them use our property to put merchandising in. There's no way. I don't think we should have anything to do with it. I think we say no. And, I mean, if you want this to die on the vine, make your motion and we'll not approve it and let it go. But I'm not in favor of it.
Well, not in favor of it.
Okay. Well, before we even get started, I'm just going to defer this item and let's move on with the next item.
There you go.
Thank you all very much. All right. Item B, consider, discuss, and approve resolution order renewing and extending the declaration of our local disaster issued for a public health emergency for another period of 30 days to expire on October 14th, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve that?
Move.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. The third item.
I can do it, Judge, if you want me to.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah. So this is considering approving closing 3 full-time equivalent spots in positions 7100, 5365, and 3 full, and open 3 full equivalent spots in positions 7100, 5381. This is basically a correction to what we did on the August 20th special session, where we opened 10 mental health deputies. They actually needed those to be 7 mental health deputies and 3 sergeants. So this is just to correct that. But there is a little bit of an impact to those the budget to the ARPA funds, which is at the $58,500. So we would follow an amendment for those additional funds needed to cover this.
Constable Cash, watch this. I move.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Thank you all very much. Jason, emergency management, please.
Good morning, Commissioners, Judge.
Good morning.
Item A, consider and discuss take appropriate action regarding extending the warehouse. This is the warehouse on Pollock, where we keep our PPE supplies and pandemic supplies through December 31st of this year. Current lease is currently at month-to-month, and our funding source expires at the end of this month. Funding source to come from ARPA funds for this.
Move.
Second. This is the big warehouse?
The air-conditioned warehouse that we've leased through the pandemic.
And do you have a number, a dollar amount on that one?
Yes. Currently, $11,805 a month. That's all in, including the utilities. So they're paying utilities out of that.
How many square feet is that?
I believe it's just shy of 12,000 square feet.
Yeah. All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any more discussion?
Dang, that's a lot of money.
All in favor?
Well, I hate it, but...
We all hate it, but... all in favor?
Opposed?
Well, motion carries.
I didn't ask for a year because I know we're still looking for options, so... Yeah.
Okay. We got to come up with our own warehouse somewhere.
Yeah, we got to figure out something.
If I didn't ask for a year, I'm just giving us enough time to find a few other options for us and go from there.
All right. Motion passes. Unanimously. Item B.
Yeah. So this is just an update. I have no actual request today. As you know, yeah, no request.
What?
We're good. Still have enough funding from the previous request.
Good.
As you know, the nurse contract today makes the 1 month that they've been there, or 28 days that they've been in place. That's working great. Hospitals are still full. We're fuller now than we were when we initiated the contract. But we've come down from our peak, so it has begun to decline. However, the ICUs are still at their high number with COVID patients, and it's going to take some time to see those numbers drop. The ICU patients spend an enormous amount of time in the ICU once they get there. But the general beds are coming down from their high a couple days ago. The positivity rates continue to drop, so we continue to see a decline in cases. It's still there. We're still at a record high number of active cases, but we should start to see that number drop substantially now that we're about 30 days into the new surge, as we have a lot of folks we still can't get a hold of to verify if they've recovered or where their status is. So they'll become inactive here at their 30-day mark, which will help drop those numbers. But other than that, we're good. So
all right.
Nice work. Thank you.
Item number C on the emergency management. Jason, we're going to go ahead and move that to executive session,
yep.
And then we'll come back out later on that issue. Constable Precinct 3. Consider and authorize Montgomery County Constable open and close deputy and cadet positions. Yes. Come
Move.
Forward. Constable Move. Gable,
second.
Come forward.
Thank you.
Got a second.
Got a second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you so much.
Motion carries.
Aaron, that was easy.
Good to see everybody.
Constable,
thank
it's good
you.
To see you.
So
we appreciate it so much.
Move, huh?
There you go. All right. Office of Corps Administration.
Hey, good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Please.
Asking to consider and approve opening position 8103-5382 is certified court reporter, or interpreters, as two of them. Annual salary is $75,000, and it's to be paid out of existing operation funds. And I have Judge Laird here also.
Good morning.
How are you? As I talked to Judge Gilbert, his comments to me were that there is no increase, but that it's a movement of the monies, correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
I expect an actual savings.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so done.
They had in their 2022 budget $220,000 for Spanish interpreter, $20,000 for other interpreter. That's kind of how we budgeted it.
Yeah.
With this, it's $194,703. Now, we're not going to take any of that the savings now because we may need it for, you know, but just so you know, kind of comparing, we budgeted $220,000. We expect this to come in at about $194,000.
I move.
I'll second.
Any discussion?
This was also, the $75,000 is up to, in talking to Judge Gilbert, that...
Correct.
That we'd like to try to see that lower. And the only caveat is I know that you're going to go from having several part-timers to just two full-time, and there was some concern, though it was unanimous when it went to the judges for vote, about maybe not having enough people. And they said that, hey, this is going to work, and it's, you know, the money's been allocated to y'all, so I'm fully supportive of going this direction. Just try to make it work the best you can.
Absolutely.
So we still have individuals, if it doesn't work with two, just like when you have the contract ad litems for the felony court and for some reason they have to go back to the wheel, we still have that option. So the courts will not be without translators. And also with regard to the budget, we looked at past years for Spanish interpretation, and I know we're budgeted at 220, but in past years we spent between 250 and 260. So it really looks like even if we had to get a contract every once in a while to come in, if there's a couple of trials, I still think we're going to be... It looks like tens of thousands under. I think this is a good deal
That's
for the county.
Well, thank you.
Thank you all for working
Thank you very much. Well done.
Unanimous.
Well done.
Yeah. We try.
All right.
That's awesome. We try. It's hard with 13, but we do try.
Y'all got it.
All right. Thank we have a motion. Who made the motion? In a second? We have a motion in a second?
I made the motion. I'll make the second.
All right. This half over
We're
here made
voters.
The motion in a second. Thank you. All right. Any more discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. All right.
Buddy, you made it easy bringing in your cute daughter, see?
Can't say.
It was Gilbert, very helpful.
Gilbert, concern. Thank you all. Concerning this item, we've already had the discussion. We're good, right? If you'd speak into the microphone. Thank you.
Yeah, the county clerk may just want to note that the item was approved under item 11C. So 16A was approved under item 11C. Just for the
All right. Thank you. Yeah, we've already approved it. Thank you, Gilbert. Appreciate your hard work on that. All right. Human resources. Dodie?
Good morning. Please consider and approve, consider and discuss and take appropriate action regarding the extension of the unused COVID-19 sick bank hours until December 31st, 2021.
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Tony, thank you very much. All right. County attorney.
We'd like to defer 18A.
18A.
You're going to defer that?
Yes.
All right. At this time, we're going to recess the Commissioner's Court to convene public hearings. Amy, if you would walk us through this, please.
Consider the partial replat of Lot 21 and Reserve C of Champion Oaks to be known as Champion Oaks Replat Number 2. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create one restricted commercial reserve. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. The HOA has not been found. The plat is submitted for Commissioner's approval under County Engineer Agenda Item 20C. Is anybody here to speak about it?
So for the as we move forward, help me on that. Is that in a position where we can move forward on?
At the close of this.
At the close,
yes.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
we're
okay.
going to move on all of these today.
Okay.
Consider the partial replat of Lot 22 and a portion of Lot 21 of Western Hills Commercial Development Section 2 to be known as Western Hills Commercial Development Section 2 Partial Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to create three commercial reserves in one block. No objections or concerns have been received prior to today's public hearing. The HOA has not been found, and the plat is submitted for Commissioner's Court approval under 20B. Is anybody here to speak about that? Consider the partial replats of lots 8 and 9, Block 1, Point Aquarius, Section 3, to be known as Point Aquarius, Section 3, replat number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to combine two lots into one lot. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The notice has been mailed. The plat is submitted for Commissioner's approval under County Engineer Agenda Item 20A. Precinct 2.
Okay, Precinct 2. Proceed.
Consider the partial replat of lots 8 and 9, Block 6C of Decker Hills, Section 3, to be known as Decker Hills, Section 3, Replat Number 1. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reconfigure the lot lines between lots 8 and 9. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The notice was mailed to the HOA. The plat is submitted for Commissioner's approval by County Engineer Agenda Item 20D. Is anybody here to discuss that? And finally, consider the partial replat of Phase 1A Blue Jack National and a partial replat of Reserve W Blue Jack National Phase 1A Partial Replat Number 1 to be known as Phase 1A Blue Jack National Partial Replat Number 6. The purpose of the proposed partial replat is to reconfigure Reserve W and Lot 24, Block 1 of Phase 1A. No objections or concerns received prior to today's public hearing. The notice was mailed to the HOA, and the plat is submitted for commissioner's approval by County Engineer Agenda Item 20E. Is anybody here to speak about it?
All right.
All I have.
Then we will reconvene court and take appropriate action. County Engineer's Office, A, consider and approve final plat of Point Aquarius section.
We can probably do A, B.
Do all these.
Can we do
yeah,
them all
A, B,
at
C,
one time?
D, and E. Yes.
What are all the letters?
All of them. A, B, C, D, and E. All of them.
All right. So we have a motion here to approve all of these. Is there a second? All right. Note that Commissioner Nowak has left for a moment. We still have a quorum. All in favor?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you all very much. As we continue, let's move forward to our commissioners' precincts 2 and 4.
You want to do that, Charlie?
Okay.
Kind of taking the lead on that anyway.
Approve the advanced funding agreement between Montgomery County, Texas, and TxDOT for the third direct connector at I-45 and 242. Authorize County Judge Mark Keogh to execute the agreement on behalf of Montgomery County, Texas, and multiple counterparts, and or through DocuSign or other electronic signatures. This is the agreement that me and Commissioner Metz and TxDOT, excuse me, have been working on for a little over a year, maybe 2 years now, trying to get that third direct connect from I-45 north to eastbound 242, and it's moving forward. Engineers have got it almost completely designed, and the schematic's done. We're working on a little right-of-way that we're having an issue with and a sign or two, but we're getting close to having that thing under construction, so I'm so glad to have that done, and I'll move.
Absolutely. So the folks in East County, I really appreciate all your hard work on that, Commissioner Riley, helping move that forward for us and for your folks as well. So.
We have a motion. We have a second. Commissioner Walker, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Well done. Thank you. Precinct 3. This is where we will take and consider and discuss Robinson Road.
Yes.
I know that there are some individuals who have come here today that would like to make comments on that. Please note that when we have a comment section, we have 3 minutes to share with us what you would like to share. We do have a timer, otherwise we could be here all day. But that's okay. We want to hear from you. And so who would come first and do this? If you have something to hand out, if you'd please, before you approach the dais, if you would seek permission to approach the dais, if you have something to hand out. If not, no worries.
If we can, I just want to say a couple of words just before we get started. And that first, I appreciate, raise your hand if you're here on the Oak Ridge Project. Perfect. Thank you all so much for coming today. I want to have just a quick update on where the county is on this. First, I want to make sure that everybody understands that this is not a county project. This is a city project. This, I have no ability to prioritize this with the city. I can tell you that since I took office in 13, we have tried and tried and tried to get this project off the ground. The city has engineered and re-engineered this project more times than I can count. When we put this on a road bond in 2015, under the assumption from talking with the mayor and the city council that the people were 100% unanimous on this project, we found out that was absolutely not true. And ever since then, there's been a tremendous amount of controversy within the city about what's going to happen with the properties along Robinson Road, how are they going to be purchased. And to this date, I just met with James Korn last week, and there are 5 properties that I understand that you are waiting on to be purchased. 4 of those you have to go through condemnation on. The 5th one is the Robinson Road Community Center building. We have an agreement with the city that our county attorney sent over last week, telling them that we are in agreement with the purchase price of around $477,000, I believe. We're not going to sell it to the city for $1. That's not a fair and equitable solution for us. We have made public the fact that the TERS agreement will be amended. $2 million will be paid back to Montgomery County. That $2 million will then be sent to the city of Oak Ridge North for this project. I've talked with your design engineer. Your plans are nowhere near ready. You are at least a year away from having bid-ready plans from your own engineer. I verified all this with Ms. Neely Thursday or Friday of last week. That's a fantastic project. We just got finished with realigning I-45 and Robinson Road. Part of that we did with the expectation of working with this Oak Ridge North that there's going to be a hotel on that corner. We spent significant funds designing that roadway for a hotel that never showed up. So with this project, until you have secured all of the land, you have a permit with the railroad, and you have bid-ready documents, we are not going to just sell that building to the county, to the city. You have a letter of intent from us stating that that's the fact. But until Oak Ridge North shows that they are ready and they have the funding to build this project, you know, there's not much more that we can do. It's absolutely not a county project. We'd love to help work with you any way we possibly can. I think it's going to improve mobility throughout that whole region, and that's all we're waiting on is that. We've done Elon Boulevard and Alding Westfield and Rayford Road and the extension to Rayford Road, both sides of Burnham Woods. All we need is the city to wrap up the funding and to wrap up their plans, and we will be there with the $2 million to make this project go. So that being said, if there's any comments, anything people want to say, love to hear from you. If not, we can have a meeting at my office with the city, however you want to handle it. But, you know, that's the truth as I know it today.
Thank you. Come one at a time. If both two people need to be there at the same time, that's fine. But state your name for the record.
My name is Jada England.
Yes.
Thank you for having us, and thank you for putting this item on the agenda. We appreciate it. So I have lived in Imperial Oaks for a few years. We have put together a group of citizens, which include their citizens, business people, police, fire, a lot of people that are concerned about the safety of the project, as well as the timeline of the project. We have tried to work for transparency and communication. We have had some communication from your office. We have been working more heavily with the city of Oak Ridge North. From our perspective, there seems to be a lot of back and forth of, well, this is what we've done, now we're waiting on this, and back and forth. And so we need to have transparency and more communication so that we understand. We did put a petition together to see who was interested in seeing this move forward, and currently we have 650 signatures from people that are invested to help the project move. Yeah, that's not 100% unanimous. No, there are people who have...
It's a huge project. Yeah. I don't mean to cut you off, but we certainly need that project completed. I mean, it's something that I want to see done as soon as possible, but right now, I'm just telling you, I can't tell you the number of times we've met with the city of Oak Ridge and that project has changed. We've worked with different mayors, every different council person, with different city managers. I've met with so many different citizen groups over there. There's no continuity. They do not, for whatever reason, this falls squarely on the city. And I'm telling you, and everybody has heard, $2 million is ready to go. We want to help work. We want to make this happen. But they've got to get their ducks in a row. They've got to get their land secured. So they've got to have those properties. They've got to have the permit with the UPRR. And I can tell you, those things take forever. I don't know where they are in that process, but I think everybody on this court can tell you, if you don't have a permit with the railroad, that project is not going anywhere anytime soon. And that is there's nothing I can do about that.
Right. So we've been given information that the railroad part of it is not a problem. That's moving forward. They've been out. They've done their assessments. That part is moving forward. The city is telling us that the only delay in the timeline to get the utilities moving is the negotiation of the community center.
Yeah. And, BD, can you address that as the county attorney? Just, I know you sent a letter over there to them.
Last week, they sent a letter a
couple of hours. Could you come to the microphone, if you would, please, BD?
Yes, sir.
Yes. They sent a letter April 23rd with a proposal. They also, for the first time, sent the appraisal that they had acquired. We reviewed the appraisal. We spoke with you. We did only last week inform them of everything. The appraisal was not just, will you sell us this land? It was, will you sell us this? Will you contribute the $2 million? And will you give us $400,000 in addition to, for some other improvements? And we responded with affirmative on some of those things, not everything. If there was a lack of communication, it could very well have happened. I speak fairly regularly with their attorney. When it's an attorney involved, I generally have to speak with the attorney. I don't call up the city manager. So for any delay in communication, I apologize for that. But it is it was not just a simple offer. We did have to review the appraisal, did have to do a number of things. But we believe it's on the road to being done. We're happy to draft the agreements. I've given the city of Oak Ridge North attorney the option to draft the agreements, so however they want to do it.
But Ms. England, it is important. It's important to us. We definitely want to see that project moving as quickly as possible.
And then others have other things to address, but one question I guess I have. You were talking about the plans and how they've changed. We were told that at this point the plan was the engineers that worked on it are the same ones that you requested them to work with that did the Robinson 45 and the Rayford. Is that correct?
So, well, there were several different engineers. When Oak Ridge North picked this engineering firm, they picked it based on the fact that they had done a lot of work with the county already, and that goes back to Ms. Vicki Rudy and the former mayor. I can't think of his name now. But so I can't tell you why they picked them, but LJA and Brown and Gay were the two most recent engineers at 45 and Robinson Road. So, yeah, and I think it's Klotz or RPS that is doing the other piece. But they're all good firms. I mean, RPS is perfectly competent to get that project done, and it has changed a lot. And I've talked to the engineering firm, and they tell me they are not final plans. So if any of y'all have something showing me differently, bring them up. Find the final plans and bring them to us. I would really like to see them because they don't exist.
Okay, with that in mind, thank you, Commissioner. We've exceeded our time, but glad to do it. Appreciate your questions. Are there any other comments that citizens that would like to come and make comments? And just for the record, if we have addressed your question or whatever and it's already been addressed, great, we've addressed it. If there's something additional that you have, please share it with us. Yes, sir.
My name's Lee Franklin.
Lee,
Judge
welcome.
Judge Keogh and honorable commissioners, guests. I'm totally unfamiliar with the way this governmental process works. But as an individual who goes that route daily to get to my business, I'm just anxious to see that something there gets improved with the congestion that that intersection poses. It's hazardous, and I don't know if y'all travel that route often, but it's congested with traffic. But I also, in addition to being a business owner in the Oak Ridge North Commerce Park, I'm also president of the Owners Association that includes the 26 buildings there. And I speak for the 6,000 customers that visit our facility there that on occasion have spoken their mind in the form of a review of our business dealing with the delay in the difficulty to get to our business.
Right.
And I'm not asking the county to solve that problem, but we've been in business there for 10 years, and I know that several governmental entities have spent a good deal of money analyzing and studying the issue, and I'm just hoping that something can get done.
If I may just ask a question. Has of the group who is here today, has obviously you have the regular meetings, the council there and the mayor. You have addressed these concerns in open forum or in a consent or whatever, some form of an agenda item with those in charge in Oak Ridge. As Commissioner Nowak has said, our hands are tied at this point, given the fact that the Oak Ridge has got to move on this to complete this.
Yeah, I'm personally not attended any kind of planning sessions that Oak Ridge North has taken on this issue.
Well, there, as we do here, when we have an agenda, we have a section that we start off with, are there any citizens, we're required, this is by statute, are there any citizens who have comments concerning any item on the agenda, either open or on the consent agenda, and then we take comments at the end on any type of item that might be addressed that happens to be incidental, even if it's not on here, and we listen to those. And they would as well. And I would suggest as a help to this, because as the commissioner has expressed it, we're doing all we can do at this point. And so it's up to the citizens to get with the council there and to talk to them about the urgency of what we're doing.
Yeah, and Commissioner Keogh spoke on the phone Friday. Yeah. And I appreciate knowing that information. And I think I've got some direction as to what to do next. But
great.
I appreciate
anything you can do to help it along, I think the citizens who have to use that daily will appreciate it.
Absolutely. And one thing to point out, I know that there's been told that the community center is a holdup. When there are four other properties that have to go through condemnation, there's no way the community center is a holdup. It's absolutely impossible. The condemnation process is not quick. It's not easy. And that means that just the preliminary negotiations between the landowner and the city have broken down. They did not accept the initial offer. You have to go through condemnation. You have to have commissioners appointed to hear the case by a judge, right? I mean, this process is not quick. So I feel bad that you didn't get the right information, but that's kind of where we are. And yeah, I'd love to see that fixed. My office has went out there, and with the engineer, we gave a substitute design to the city, something that they could do in the interim to make that the congestion at that intersection work a little easier. They turned it down. They didn't have any interest in doing it. It was a very low-cost, simple solution to try to make it a little easier to get from Robinson across the railroad to Hannah or the other way. There wasn't any interest.
Well, there was an additional stop sign installed some years back.
Yeah, and,
that has been a big help.
We did that. That was Charles Cobb, the man over there.
Solve the problem. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Lee. Yes, sir. If you'd state your name for the record.
I'm David Laney. I've been a member or homeowner in Imperial Oaks since 1986. I do have some handouts. I'm a retired sales engineer for Verizon.
Okay, if you would, yes. Thank you.
I think my presentation is more a matter of public record as to the level of congestion being created, making all the commissioners aware of it. I know we've talked about the fact that it's somebody else's problem right now, but I think all of you need to be educated about what's happening at those two intersections. A study was done by Oak Ridge some years ago, 2017, and just to give you an idea of the level of congestion, on August 11th of this year, which is the first day of school, 18,000 vehicles passed through Robinson Road intersection. That's a two-lane road with a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit. That study was done to determine whether or not a traffic signal was needed. That study found that the minimum volume was four times what was required for a traffic signal. So there's no doubt the area needs a traffic signal. The backups on Robinson and Hannah alone, the peak backups can extend for almost 2 miles. That's a lot of cars trying to get to school and work in the mornings. Railroad traffic can extend the delays even worse. The congestion is, according to that traffic study, quote, unacceptable for urban areas that sees extremely unstable flow, heavy congestion, traffic, and exceeds capacity. And I have to say, I can't see someone saying, you need to wait till you go to eminent domain before I'm going to be part of the solution. Police, fire, and EMS often encounter blocked intersections. And the reason for that is because of the backup. The traffic signals have been knocked down multiple times because the trucks can't maneuver the sharp turns they have to make between these two intersections. Hannah and Robinson are everyday routes for CISD school buses. And Robinson Road, this is a pretty big one. Robinson Road is the only alternate east-west except for Rayford. And that's because, you know, the intersection of Rayford and Hannah has flooded twice since I've been here. That leaves only Robinson Road as the way to get from 99 over to 45. Unless you want to go to Old Town Spring, or you want to get on 99 and run over to 59, run up to 242, and then across. So, anyway, and the last diagram there is I've highlighted the backup, and if you're wondering how I came up with 2 miles, Google Earth has a neat little utility where you can measure distance. And I've highlighted, these are backups that I have seen. It's backed up all the way to 45 going west, all the way to the curve going east, and that's not counting when Scrapyard lets out traffic when their games are over, past the Chevron station going north on Hannah, and then probably a quarter mile going south on Hannah. So again, I know it's a problem, but I'm not sure it's one where the solution is waiting for eminent domain. That usually comes into play whenever, you know, all other angles have been exhausted. And I'm pretty sure, you know, we can move a little bit faster. I think the fact that the letter was sent in April and just last week a response was generated from the county attorney says that there's a little bit more that can be done at the county level to make this happen a little bit faster. Problem's not going away, that's for sure. So any questions?
Are we trying to – I'm not familiar with this project at all. I know that intersection because for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Are we trying to cross the tracks right there where it hits instead of making that zigzag?
Absolutely. You've got two intersections like this.
Yep. Trying to straighten it out.
We're going to come about 40 feet south or north and make that one intersection with a traffic signal.
Yeah. Same problem I have in Willis trying to cross the railroad track. Yep. And it is an issue.
And you can't put a signal there. Yeah. The railroad won't allow it. We've tried that. We have worked so much on this intersection, and I'm sorry that everybody doesn't know it. But I am telling – I have nothing to do with the eminent domain. I'm telling you that the negotiations between the city and the landowner have broken down. The county is not involved.
True, but a lack of commitment by the county to sell the property shows the railroad that there's a lack of commitment to the project.
With all due respect, there's no lack of commitment. It's the timing. It wouldn't have mattered if that document would have been executed in April or next April. The problem is that there's all the rest of the landowners are not moving forward. Once they get stuck, I mean, I told the city a year ago that we would work off this transaction with the community.
So are you saying you don't expect the eminent domain to go through?
I think ultimately the condemnation proceedings are going to be in favor of the city. They're going to win.
Then why you
it
would
just
not,
takes a while.
Then why you would not commit now is...
We have committed.
And explained it. Very well.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? Yes, if you would please, if you state your name for the record.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is John Planchard. I've been a resident of Oak Ridge since 1972. And... I'm chairman of the Oak Ridge TERS, and I can speak on some of these matters. I respectfully object to some of the comments Commissioner Nowak has made with regard to the failure of for the issue to be not on the bond issue. There was 10 residents, as I understand it, led by Al Stahl, that met with him. to my knowledge, those are the only people that were objecting to this.
You must not have been in my office with 35 people.
I can do a public records request to find out who met with you. Okay?
Commissioner, if we would. Proceed, if you would, please.
All right. The city of Oak Ridge North did not create this problem. The county created this problem when they opened up Robinson Road from Imperial Oaks. Okay? Are you all aware of that? Even though this road does go through the city, I think that there's a financial responsibility over and above the $2 million that's been committed for the county to kick in, as well as what's in the TERS. It's a east-west connector to I-45, the mall, and wherever else. The county needs to recognize their responsibility for creating this problem and stepping up and help fund a greater portion of the construction cost in aligning Robinson Road. I'm specifically asking the county to come to an immediate agreement with Oak Ridge to sell the Robinson Road Community Center site to the city for $1 because of creating this problem. The site is in the direct path of the proposed alignment of Robinson Road. This agreement will allow Oak Ridge the necessary utility relocation so that once plans are approved by the railroad, the project can be bid and construction begin. Again, the county created this problem, and therefore the county should take more financial responsibility for fixing the problem. Sell the community center for $1. Incidentally, I did a public records request for the usage of the community center, and I have not heard back. I understand it has to go through the county attorney's office, and I'm aware of that. My understanding, I'm also director on Drainage District 6, and I realize that once you start condemnation, if you need to begin a project, you can take that property immediately, if I'm not correct. Advise. I'm not. Now, this doesn't count my 3 minutes, does it?
No, it's okay. Proceed.
Okay.
Yeah. Eminent domain, once, first you have to exhaust negotiations with the landowner. When that is done, when that has been exhausted, excuse me, then it generally will take 4 to 6 months for the special commissioner's hearing, and then you have to deposit the money in the register of the court before you can take possession of the property. So mm-hmm. No, it's not immediate.
Okay. Well, regardless, if there is an agreement, I think it should be then contingent upon the City of Oak Ridge North acquiring the easements. The reference to the hotel site, the city had no control over the property. It was an owner that had insufficient funds and was unable to proceed. I don't know if you're aware that there's a floor and decor going in there right now, and it's currently under construction.
There's a what going in there?
Floor and decor. Huge. Okay. What I'm asking is if there's going to be any action on this following executive session. If there is, we need to know so we can stick around.
Okay, this is not our executive session.
And there's no action to be taken.
No action?
Today.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
May I make a comment?
Yes.
I appreciate you coming forward, Al, in this issue. You know, when I was a state representative, I represented District 15 in the 84th and the 85th session. Matter of fact, I had my office directly across I-45. I wanted to be close to – I put it there specifically because there was all this traffic issue down there by Rayford Sawdust and that whole area heading up in Oak Ridge and all the rest. And This was an issue back then. That's two sessions ago, 4, 5, 6 years ago now as I think about it. And, you know, in my office, because when I first saw this on the agenda, that this was coming up to have a discussion, I thought it was going to be about not about pushing forward, but about pushing back. We don't want this. We don't want this. Because up until today, for me, what my involvement has been is people have been objecting to us putting in a road and widening and all the rest. down that road. I remember specifically talking to a number of individuals. There's a church down there I spent a considerable time talking with as a state rep about this particular issue. And so I'm assuming that what you're saying is all that has changed and there's nobody objecting to this anymore. Is that correct?
Well, there's 600 people that have signed, over 600
I thought about that.
That have signed the petition, and there's a great majority of them are also Oak Ridge residents. What the problem is because of the traffic backup, traffic for moving westward right. or eastward into Imperial Oaks, they cut through residential streets,
right.
okay, which creates a traffic hazard
right.
for people that have young children. You know, I don't know what the traffic count is. David has all of that information.
We have it, yeah.
And it's called backups. It's
as I thought about this, I thought about the 600 signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And what came to mind was it was presented, that was a statement, as you had made it to us. We appreciate that. You know, is that Oak Ridge or is that primarily Imperial Oaks? Is it the people on the other end? I mean, who it is? Who is
well,
it?
Well, there's because a lot of people here both. Now from Oak Ridge as well.
Okay. I'm just for inquiry. I'm not backing up on this in any way. I just wanted to know for myself because I was involved in this in the not-too-distant past. So
right.
But we appreciate you bringing this to our attention. It's enlightening to all of us.
But again, the county, when they opened Robinson Road, that was Commissioner Chance, created that thoroughfare to the west or the east on the return in the evening, as well as Hannah Road. And I don't know if it went back to
right.
Weldon Locke or Joe Corley when he was commissioner or who, but that also created another. That was a north-south corridor that was created that meets at that intersection.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very familiar with that.
Where did the county open the road? Where are we talking about?
At the end of Robinson Road that goes back
to where?
Imperial Oaks did not have access to Oak Ridge.
So Oak Ridge, did it used to just dead end right here into...
right, down there by
the railroad track?
At the railroad track? No, by scrapyard.
Oh, further down, okay, on the other side.
So it went down as far as scrapyard, and that was it?
That was it.
So you're saying the county opened it up from there on through...
Correct.
Down to the other...
Correct.
Track. I guess you come off of Rayford or Sawdust, Rayford to get through that other end?
Right. Okay. And even before that, Hannah Road didn't go all the way north.
Hannah Road used to stop.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct, and that was opened by the county as well.
But in doing that... They did open up traffic that benefit. They're, obviously, it opened it up to benefit people when they did that, and those from Imperial Oaks or whatever, at least at that time, there was a benefit to this as well. I mean, so it wasn't that it was just a bad idea.
The growth didn't occur until later, and I guess okay. the problem, and, you know, y'all are facing that throughout the county.
Oh, yeah.
Where you're, you know, there's too few dollars to be able to handle all of the problems that exist, but... You know, the city's, you know, moving forward, and we're in communication with them. My wife is on city council. I get information, so I know what's happening.
Good. Okay. All right. Al, thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate you coming forward. Are there any other comments that anyone would like to make?
I do want to just, real quick, on the Robinson Road Community Center.
Yeah.
You know, the past year... obviously, all of our community centers were closed in almost all of 2020,
right.
and the you know, that is a very heavily utilized community center, historically speaking, and it's certainly not fair to the rest of the community to sell that for a dollar and not have funds to be able to build a community center for everyone else. I mean, they've got to have a place to be able to meet. It's the whole community there. The other thing is the project itself is $4.4 million, and the county is putting in $2 million. I think that's a pretty healthy contribution. I think any city would take roughly half. No, I've got it from your engineer, $4.53 million. Okay. So.
Okay, well, but we'll look at that.
No matter that's the number, and I believe that's the number in the agreement that we have with the city. The final cost is in, and we'll pull that agreement because it does exist. But the point is the county is contributing $2 million to this. We understand that it's an issue. We want to get it fixed. As soon as the city is ready, I mean, there's no holdup on the county's behalf at all. We're ready. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. I know it's out of order.
Come to the microphone, if you would, please.
And I'm sorry, Commissioners, we should have...
And if you would restate your name for the record.
My name is Jada England. One comment about the condemnation hearings. As I understand it, those begin in October and are set to be done in November. They have title in place. They have the checks issued. So as long as everything goes through, that's supposed to happen,
good,
be all done by November.
And we're ready, so, too. We got our money.
But that's why we want the negotiation of the community center to happen sooner rather than later, because utilities cannot start until they have that information. Utilities can start moving forward with the planning based on where they are in the condemnation hearing, but they can't without the community center.
Anybody hear from the utilities?
No, but...
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, we're waiting for the city to respond to the offer, correct?
I believe our reflection is that Mr. Skinner responded that...
either yesterday or earlier or sometime this, I expect to be on their next, not the most agenda this week, but I assume the next agenda. He said we'd take it to them at their next meeting. It wasn't sufficient time on Thursday or, Friday to put it on the very next meeting, which I presume would have been Monday or Tuesday of this week if it's 72 hours, but he would take it to the city the next time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Are there any more citizen comments that of any issue that's not been addressed? If there are none, thank you all very much for your comments on this and for the discussion. At this time, we're going to dismiss to executive session. The court will recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. And this issue was not on executive session, so that you guys are all free to go if you'd like to. Thank you all for being here today.
You were late because you opened.
Thank you all for waiting. All right, concerning our executive session, I'd like to make a motion that the sheriff appoint a designee to negotiate items associated with claim number D-19-0155.
Second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, thank you. Those are all the items that we would take action on today. Are there any citizens who would like to make any closing comments who are here today with us? All right. Eric. State your name for the record, sir. Eric, if you would.
Eric Seacrest. Speaking on behalf of our 150 members of the Woodlands Professional Firefighters Association in regards to agenda item, I think it was 13... A, use of ARPA funds for premium pay for first responders and essential workers. Our members have been extremely impacted through the pandemic because of our first forced quarantines. Our members haven't been able to work their second and third jobs, which they need to adequately provide for their families. They're also, because of the first forced quarantines, it has impacted our members. It has forced overtime on them. Also, those members that are quarantined aren't able to work overtime, so we have people being hung daily, which greatly impacts our staffing levels and morale overall. So I would ask, I don't know if y'all are able to take action on this today or if it's going to be a future option.
Me, future option.
Okay. I would ask each and every one of your support for the future agenda item that will propose the use of ARPA funds. That's what the ARPA funds were designed for these premium pays. So I speak for all first responders and essential workers in Montgomery County and ask your future support for that agenda item. Thank you all.
Chief, we appreciate it so much. Thanks for coming. All right. Are there any of the citizens that would like to make any comments or any miscellaneous items on this? If there are none, then we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now, before anybody runs off, we have our toll road. Commissioner Riley now has the floor.
We're going to slow down a little bit or not?
All right, let the record show that everybody's here. Roll call, everybody's here. Are there any citizens that would like to speak on any agenda items for the Montgomery County Toll Road Authority? Don't you do it. All right, Montgomery County Toll Road Authority, we got two agenda items on here. 4A, consider and approve the renewal option for on-call engineering services with Half Associates Incorporated to include First Amendment to agreement for Montgomery County Toll Road Authority.
I'll move. I second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you all very much. B, consider and approve the contract with the following highly qualified provider engineering services for the Montgomery County Toll Road 249 annual bond assessment period FY21 through 25 for HDR engineering in the amount of $206,300, Montgomery County Toll Road Authority per Government Code Chapter 2254.
Second.
Any questions?
Nope.
Concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Motion to adjourn?
Yes.
All right, we're adjourned. Thank you all very much.
All right.
Now, that's
thanks,
how you
sir.
Hold a meeting.